Okay, and checking in for a half hour with us tonight is the remarkable Jordan Maxwell, who has been looking at this ever-deteriorating deconstruction of this country for over 50 years now, and understanding on a worldwide basis what's happening. And it's pretty easy to really see it all now if you've followed Jordan's work or followed his program and what we've done over... It's coming up on 20 years this June, Jordan. 20 years of this program. It's literally an archive of the decline and fall of America. It's all there. And you have played a very integral part in bringing that all to us. It was predicted, forecast, wasn't prophesied. It was simply stated by George Orwell, who I honestly think would be shocked at how far beyond his scenario much of the control has gone. He couldn't have anticipated, oh, maybe he could have. I shouldn't speak for him. I don't know. But the technology involved is so amazing now that nobody really even understands it. 95% of the sheep are out of it, clueless. They'll never figure it out. I think about 1% or 2% really get it. And once they get it, you know, it's really nice to see somebody get it when the blocks fall into place. But it doesn't happen very often. You can't sit somebody down and convince them. They have to come to the realization on their own through data and material, the likes of which you have been presenting for such a long time. How are you?
Well, comparatively well, I think.
That sums it up. All right, still here. That's my favorite line.
Yeah.
Terminal madness of the end times. I looked at that story in the LA Times, speaking of times today, of how these horribly vicious gangs, now it happens to be Latino gangs in Compton, are harassing and terrorizing black families into moving out of their neighborhood. So they're literally ethnic cleansing activities going on in all major cities of this country. The blacks hate the Mexicans and vice versa. The Arabs hate probably all. Who knows? I mean, they could, Jordan, as you well know, ignite a race war anytime they want.
Absolutely, and that's always it's always there, and the ignorance of the people plays right into it.
It's towering.
Yeah.
Compounding every day.
Yep. Yep. Did you see the emails I just sent you in relation to what I was going to talk to you about?
I just got them. Yeah, the Communist International. There it is.
Yeah, the International, and then the magazine that's put out that Obama is on, called the Internacional.
Yeah, with a Z.
It's a really interesting story. I didn't get the other two pictures I wanted to send in time. But, you know, if you go into look in the dictionary under the word N-A-S-I, Nazi, N-A-S-I.
Mm-hmm.
Nazi is a word for the high, in our court system today,
mm-hmm.
Supreme Court, you have a Supreme Court judges, but then you have the chief of the Supreme Court judges.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the Jewish system, even today in Israel, the highest judge in the Supreme Court of Israel is called, his official title for that Supreme Court judge is a Nazi, N-A-S-I. Nazi.
Really? How interesting.
Yeah, and if you look in a dictionary, look up the word Nazi, it will tell you. It's a high priest, which is usually a high judge in the Knesset or in the Jewish court,
uh-huh.
going all the way back into ancient history, that the high official in the court of Israel is called Nazi, N-A-S-I. But what's interesting is almost in the same word or just beneath it, it says, but a more correct spelling of N-A-S-I is N-A-Z-I. That's in a dictionary. And then when you look at this this thing I just sent you about the international, and the in German, international is INTER-NAZI. Instead of international, in German it's Inter-Nazi, which is international translated. So what I'm saying is that what I've been looking at for a long time is this Jewish connection to not only the international, and that was that's been well proven. The best work on that, I think, was in the book Fire in the Minds of Men by James Billington. And James Billington is the chief librarian for the Library of Congress. So it's not some fly-by-night historian. No, this is the chief librarian for the Library of Congress. Has written a really incredibly interesting book called Fire in the Minds of Men. And in it, he traces the international, the world communist movement, back to the Jewish sources. But what I think is interesting is that it, you know, when you begin looking at the whole use of words, Nazi, N-A-S-I, for high priest in Israel, N-A-Z-I, being the word for the international in German, all I'm saying is that all of this, both Nazi, fascist, and communist, or international communist, can all be traced back to something that I hate to make it sound like I'm criticizing, but it's a fact. It goes back to something Jewish a long time ago, or what we refer to today loosely as Jewish. And I know that the Jewish people, I have so many of my friends are Jewish that I talk to about this and show them, and they're amazed. So I'm not talking about the Jewish people as such. I'm talking about some kind of a hidden, for lack of a better term, Zionist. And that's another buzzword that's used by the international elite. So I'm just saying that there's something else going on here than just the word Nazi or communist or international. There seems to be some kind of a connection to all of this around the world, going back into ancient history. And to add to that, and what I'm saying is that we always think of Nazi as the right wing and communist as left wing, but I've been saying for years that the eagle on the American eagle only has two wings. It has a right wing and a left wing. And so the bottom line on what I'm saying here is that I believe that the major political movements of the world, what we could boil down to Nazism or communism or fascism or international Illuminism, all of it can be traced back to the same people. Somehow or another, this has been this monstrosity of divide and conquer between multiple nations of people can all be traced back to something very, very old and very well hidden. So that I'm always amazed when I see the violence between religions and between races and people. When the people and races and religions have no idea in the world, all of this stuff is being manipulated a long time ago, and it's a well-ironed-out, well-planned, highly financed stuff, you know.
Well, they have supercomputers now to do all this social modeling. I mean, they
Of course.
They have duplicate Earths in cyberspace. Now, you know, I can take that literally or figuratively, however you want, but they do understand exactly how to forecast accurately exactly what the results of whatever it is they want to do will be. They know.
That's incredible. It absolutely is absolute. It's outrageous.
Orwell would have howled. See, he didn't foresee supercomputers like this. Now, if he were around And he knew, and they do have these things. They're duplicate Urits. I'm sure a number of countries have them. And they're living, breathing, and they're constantly being entered with new data around the clock. If Orwell could have seen that, he would have been mind blown. He would have just laughed. He said, well, then they know everything before they even do it. They know how to create trends, new social paradigms, anything they want. And that's where we are.
And the crazy part about it, Jeff, is the fact that the people will mold themselves to whatever their masters want. I mean,
isn't it amazing? You're so right.
It is.
They're like silly putty in their hands, and they will mold. They're shapeable, malleable, and they'll do what they're told.
That's right. And who was it that was writing about the educational system? Remember, and they said that the people will always mold themselves to our hands. Whatever we want, they will do. And it's true. I mean, the human race seems to just go along with whatever their masters tell them. And I'm just amazed watching it all unfold.
Well,
people have no power. You know?
They have no power. And honestly, this may be too harsh. Maybe they don't deserve it. They've given up. They've ceded all right to responsible behavior by their irresponsible behavior, and by, it's not their fault, but they've been dumbed into oblivion, most of them. You look at the so-called entertainment. This is a culture, a cult of celebrity now. And the whole thing is predicated on, look how many people are on YouTube videos. What are they? They want to be celebrities. They want to be seen. That's the reinforcement. That's what gives them feelings of worth and value. I see. I saw you on your YouTube. Oh, you did? Wow. It's nuts. I bet there are 25,000 radio talk shows now around the world, on the internet at least, and in standalone radio stations. Maybe more. Maybe more.
Yeah. I mean, that is what, you're right. It is a whole mindset now. And yeah, I was hearing people today on the radio talking about that we've got so many problems here to deal with, and then they started naming them off, like the marital problems and our job problems that we have at our job, and our money problems with the bank. And I keep thinking, you know, it's outrageous. Those are just symptoms. You got a bigger problem. And the biggest problem I think we face in America and around the world collectively is education. I think that's the biggest problem of all. Ignorance. Total human ignorance. Ill-informed, unread ignorance. Have no idea in the world what's going on. And that's why this stuff works so well, because people just don't know. And the reason why they don't know, they don't want to know. And so that's why it's just getting worse and worse. It's amazing to me, but I love watching these words and terms and symbols that are being bandied around. I mean, ABC, Disney, showing that movie V. I mean, I've talked about that for a long time, and it's very important about how these motion picture companies are putting in all kinds of communist propaganda, international Illuminized propaganda in the movies and television shows.
Yeah, and then they lace it up with perversion, porn, and absolute drop-dead, literally, violence.
Oh, absolutely.
Death,
and the people,
killing.
And the people finance it.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, when we hear about all these drug cartels and how horrible the violence and how much money is being made.
Almost 60,000 Mexicans have been slaughtered now down there.
Wow. But if you look at the rest of the story, there wouldn't be any of this stuff happening with the drug cartels if it wasn't for Americans buying the stuff. I mean, we are the ones that's putting up the money that the cartels are making. So it's really Americans who are feeding this industry, and that, you know, people don't realize that. Look at the gangsters, yeah, but the gangsters are making the money off of you. It's the Americans who are buying this, the drugs and the alcohol and all
right.
that.
Right, of course. They're sitting ducks. It's not even a contest. It's so easy to manipulate them into doing whatever the controllers want.
That's right.
It's just no pushback. There are, you folks listening are kind of the last hope. I mean, hope. The hope, I guess, would be a phrase I would use with respect to trying to preserve a memory to codify what we had, so maybe someday it'll be recognized for something very special, but it's gone.
Yeah,
it's gone.
Yeah, I know. And that's what's so frightening, because I've said this before, when I see the little kids and going to school and young parents, young people just getting married and having a new baby, and I think to myself, these are not the days that you know, you don't understand what's going on the earth today. And people just live their lives never even suspecting that something very, very dark is coming on the earth. You know, they just live their life every day, never even beginning to see what's coming. That's what's frightening, because it's totally out of control, and the young people of the world, especially young people, are beginning to awaken to what's going on. But it's very, very big what's happening, and it's been going on for a long time. And I don't think that you and I have talked about it so often. I don't know that there's going to be any way we can turn it around. It's going to have to play itself out.
No, there's no way. Are you kidding? I mean, I'm being rhetorical. There's no way. We're going down and out the other side, folks, wherever that is. Could be into a gulag or a mass open grave somewhere. I don't know.
But that's right. And we got the religions baiting us on. The Islamics are killing, and Israel, and the Christians are, it's a mess all over the world. And so I don't know. I have no idea where it's all going to go. All I'm trying to do is trying to help those people who want to know and want to understand how things work. That's what I've been trying to do, and that's what I do. And so we'll see where it goes. And I would say also, taking advantage of the last few minutes of the program, that if anyone is interested, I've been thinking about having some small meetings here in Los Angeles where I can sit and just talk with people. And so if you're interested, you can always go on my always email me. I'm getting a new website soon, so I'll have a new website probably the next time we talk. But for now, if you can just email me at jordanmaxwell@gmail.com.
Okay, now it's J-O-R-D-N, no A.
That's right.
Jordan, J-O-R-D-N, Maxwell@gmail.com. And just an evening with Jordan at your favorite L.A. restaurant.
Yeah.
Sit back
Yeah, I think that would be a nice idea, just to have, if anybody wants to come and just sit and buy you lunch, and we can sit and talk. And so if you're interested, email me or call me. And I always try and answer the phones and the emails best I can. If anyone wants to call me, it's 818 area code. 818 is 514-6294. 818-514-6294. So give me a call if you'd like to do that, and I'll be put one of these little things together where we can meet like every other week or something. Just an idea, because I've got so many things I'd like to talk to people about, and so we'll see where it all goes. But we just keep working, because it's the only thing we can do. You know, it's the only thing left is to keep trying to awaken the people
yes,
to the best we can.
Yeah, well, we will. We will. Now, I told you we could, give me a call later tonight or something. We'll figure this out. We'll get this all glued together and Yep. And it's for you just to be able to sit down and talk to folks, take phone calls, whatever. That's fun. People really like that. It's because you are such an amazing resource, and people have questions, and you've got answers.
Well, I enjoy doing that. I enjoy talking to people, and I have so many subjects that I've that I'd like to pass. Have people think about all kinds of interesting things out there that we're just not being told. And I'm very big on the spiritual occult subject, and that's always fascinated me. So there's a lot going on in that area. So anyway, I don't even know where to start when I'm on a program with you because there's so much to talk about.
Well, we always just step in and kind of take a look around, and it's not this whole gun grab thing. If the American patriot community has any life left, it will stand up and it will demand that the Second Amendment be upheld. It ought to fight like hell for the first, and I honestly think that they may fight harder for the second.
Who knows?
The second is around to protect the first, so. Let's hope. Let's hope.
And then this British guy that is out there bad mouthing the Americans for having guns.
Piers Morgan. Please.
Piers Morgan. You know what? Absolute gall and stupidity.
He's on the Communist News Network. What do you expect?
Yeah, well, that makes sense because suppose Americans go to England and start bad mouthing the British people for what they're doing. Where the hell did he come off with coming over here to this country and bad mouthing the American people? I know what he's doing. He's just representing the powers in England who have been trying to
destroy
this country for a long time.
He's representing the crown, sure, of course.
That's
and
right.
The Zionist banksters, you bet.
Yeah.
He's not there by accident. It's funny to watch these people. He's got a new hairstyle like little Rand Paul. He's got a curl, kind of a perm to it. And it's sticking up higher off his head now, so he doesn't look so flaccid.
It wraps around the point on his head.
Jeez. All right, Jordan, thank you. Great to chat. We'll talk again and get our plans moving.
Everything arrived, and it looks good.
Good.
So we'll be talking soon.
Okay, thanks. All right. Night.
Thanks again.
Be well. Jordan Maxwell. And so if you're in the L.A. area and you'd like to have a dinner with Jordan. Maybe you get a restaurant with a nice little meeting room or banquet room or something.
And
he loves to do that. That'd be a great, great way to spend an evening. All right, we'll be right back. All right, here we go, off to Thailand to talk to Yochi Shimatsu to find out what his views are on the current state of the ever-deteriorating situation at Fukushima Daiichi and other Japanese nuclear power plants as well. Are you there, Yochi?
Yes, I am. Sorry about missing the show for a couple of weeks. You know, it's the middle of the dry season here in Southeast Asia, so anyone who has to deal with natural products, it's pretty busy because everything's being harvested, dried right now.
Yeah,
so had to spend a lot of time up the mountains in the countryside.
Now you scored
not
some
phone access.
Yeah, you said
I beg your pardon?
You said you scored some good coffee beans up in the mountains of Thailand.
Yeah, it's good. It's a prime coffee growing area. So this is the season now where they're trying to unload the stuff. So you try to swoop in there and get some of the better beans, organic grown inside the forest. So.
Good for
it's
you.
It's sort of a fad, I suppose.
Enjoy. Okay. Meanwhile, TEPCO has drilled a hole in the torus of Reactor 2 at Daiichi to look for the melted fuel. Let's play, where's the melted fuel? So we're drilling a hole, and I got the story up there. We know that the melted fuel...
They're probably not there. They're probably actually looking for the leak that's through the chamber there.
Could be.
You know, so it's a, I mean, they wouldn't drill through if they knew the fuel was there. That would be too dangerous.
I wouldn't think so. I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right
so they're
there.
Running a, yeah, they're running a, you know, a, camel, a lens through a cable and some maybe some sensors to try to find out where it leaked. You know, obviously not on the outer edges, on the sides. It had to leak below. So you got to determine exactly where that point of the meltdown, you know, the, where the metal melted. So, so obviously that's what they're doing. You know, they never tell you the straight story, obviously. You know, they never,
never have.
Probably never will. So we got to figure out things. Have to put your thinking cap on when dealing with these rascals. And so, yeah, I just, it's going to be a while because if it did melt through below all that is concrete, which basically turns to hydrated lime. I mean, just basically dust, you know, below the metal there, and it'll go right through to the ground. So it is it, quite, they've got quite a search ahead of them. You know?
Yeah.
It's,
now, there's some
quite a nasty affair.
More stories coming up about extraordinary readings like the 240,000 becquerels per square meter on a road, 80 kilometers from Fukushima Daiichi. This is
not surprising. Not surprising. It's on a road, as I showed you photos.
That's right.
Trucks coming out of the plant with very high level weights, and some of these trucks only have, let's say, a tarp.
They got a lousy tarp on the top.
Yeah, and so it's easy for something to. About them. With a number of trucks out there, the roads are getting pretty battered, too. There's so many hundreds, actually thousands by now, very heavily loaded trucks going out. Some of them are pretty dodgy, and you have a lot of small contractors with basically just pickup trucks who just throw a blue tarp over the back, and they're pretty careless. You know, they're in there for a short time. They're not going to take any safety trucks. So something obviously dropped out, and that's how it got there. So it's bad. It's contamination all over Japan, wherever there's a road, along the railroad lines and deep into the surrounding provinces with all the, you know, so-called low-level waste going to Tokyo, far as Osaka, all over across the country where we have major cities and incinerators. So the logistics systems are pretty bad. Whenever you get to, where a road goes between a cut in a hill or a mountain, you know, you see the radiation just skyrocketing. It just doubles. So, because that's where basically it's trapped. It's not a lot of open air. And a lot of water in the wetter areas, you'll see radiation just. So the whole country, you know, the entire logistical system is basically irradiated. Kind of dangerous if you slow down in any of these areas where there's likely to be a lot of radioactive buildup. You know? So it's a terrible situation. Goes on and on, getting worse because there's more and more waste coming out, both low-level, high-level waste
coming out of the plant. Right, and the real tragedy, of course, is the loss of children. And we're seeing children now with nodules and growths on their thyroid, you know, little children. These are little, innocent children. And Japan still does have an innocence about the young people that the Americans have long lost.
Well, they have these, remember, right after, in the month, just immediately after, as soon as it got warm there in Fukushima, these kids were outdoors for mandatory recess in shorts and T-shirts, running around for hours outside, outdoors, when radiation levels were just deadly at the time. You know, there's lots, still a lot of fallout, radiation, and no so-called decontamination on the school grounds. So by order of the education ministry to pretend that everything's nice, so these kids got a wallop. But you have to understand, radioactive iodine-131 has a half-life of only 8 days, but the problem is that this is the longest exposure, I think, probably in human, in the entire history of the nuclear industry, because there's constant iodine-131
that's
being emitted from the plant and from the waste. You know, whenever you have broken fuel rods, exposed uranium, the iodine is being sort of generated. It's just being cast out of this rod. So the kids are under massive exposure to iodine. So, this has never been seen before in history. So when we do read, reports from scientists or doctors talking about the effects of iodine-131, you know, all the bets are off because they're talking about like a single 1 week exposure at most, you know, a few days exposure. We're talking about nearly 2 years of exposure, you know, again, in varying levels. We're not saying it's constant, in varying levels, depending where you are, how the wind is blowing. But, it's basically, this has never happened to a cohort in the human population ever before. So the nodules are from constant exposure. So these kids are going to have thyroid problems. You're going to have growth problems. And then you yourself on your side report a lot of kids are not growing. They're stunted.
No, it's amazing.
Growth, human growth hormone.
That's right.
Yeah, human growth hormone just as it's there. It's being, the endocrine system is being knocked out. It's not just the thyroid.
No.
The thyroid controls the endocrine system, the stimulation of growth hormones. So the kids are stunted. It's a terrible situation. And I think the other thing is we got to also be careful. You know, the medical community tends to look at iodine-131. When the government does, assuming that there was only like a few days of exposure, so they get off easy. But the kids have been exposed to strontium, which affects their bones, cesium, all sorts of things that would affect their muscle development. So they're, you know, it's really a terrible situation they face of future cancers, leukemia, and so on, coming on the onset of that. And terrible situation. You know, these are really victims. And they're not really giving us a lot of death rates or mortality rates or serious, let's say, hospitalization of kids. And
they're giving us next to nothing. And not talking about
the
heart.
Yeah, we're getting very... So I think the danger is just focusing on the general population of the kids without looking at the specifics. Some are going to be more, exposed or more, let's say, less tolerant to all the radiation than others. And we're not looking at, the people who are falling down, essentially, and getting autopsies on bodies or health reports on the really sick children, So the situation is still very, very vague, and it's been kept that way by the medical community. The Japan Institute of Radiological Science, they've just done a major cover-up. Like, I think there was a press conference yesterday in which they say, the kids, they did testing on the kids. But this is quite a long time ago that they did the test. They're very not too specific on the date. It was within the first year, within the first month. And they're saying they've only got, I think, 30 millisieverts of exposure. But that's a long time ago. That was at the beginning, okay? And the IAEA say 50 millisieverts is safe. So the Japan Radiological Society, under the Ministry of Science, is just basically saying there is no threat of thyroid problems to children based on very old data. So a lot of deceptive stuff out there, the way they manipulate things and the refusal to realize that there's a constant presence of iodine in that environment. In fact, probably across all of Japan, given the way the wind blows and the directional change of wind, you're seeing like people being exposed perhaps 10 days to 2 weeks out of every month. So this is just unprecedented.
Okay, they're building a cover over another destroyed reactor there. These things are designed to look nice and modern. But the bottom line is, this spent fuel pool at Reactor 4, no one talks about much anymore, and Yochi, it just cannot continue to stand up much longer.
Yeah,
the steel is degrading.
I think the structural engineer that I talked to, said the thing cannot lean forever. It's like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's not going to last as long because it's just totally out of balance. So when, you're just sort of waiting for the first, you're just waiting for the first pin to fall. Basically, the first structurally necessary part to support this tilting thing before it falls.
Yep.
And that was a real area of concern right from the beginning based on this new Asahi Shimbun story about the U.S. military was very concerned about Reactor 4 because it knew that there were weapons-grade plutonium rods inside there that were transferred from the Department of Energy, which Duke Energy, they refused to use these rods in the United States because they were just too hot to handle. They promote the growth of tritium. So they were shipped to Japan along with other illicit, material, warhead material. So basically, this is a nub of the problem between the Pentagon and the Japanese government. TEPCO, they knew the airmen and sailors in the local bases, Marines down, all over, especially Yokosuka. There was, the great revelation in the Asahi Shimbun story is that there was a mandatory, they said there was a voluntary, people claimed that there was a, servicemen were allowed to voluntarily leave Yokosuka, naval base, which is 300 kilometers away from Fukushima, when in fact there was a mandatory withdrawal of all wives and children from the base. So the Pentagon was very aware at the beginning how serious this stuff was, that there was very serious, radioactive material coming from weapons-grade plutonium from the plant. And the Japanese government continued to deny this, and of course, TEPCO continued to deny this. So this is another the issue finally coming out nearly 2 years after we're getting a true story that the U.S. military was deep.
Well,
you have to know that they have the monitors, right? They're ready for nuclear war. So they're getting stuff that, if there was a North Korean nuclear attack on Tokyo, they're getting that kind of, they have those sort of instruments. So they knew what they were talking about, that there was serious contamination. It was unsafe for women and children who had to depart far away American military bases in the area, in Japan. So very serious situation then, far more than was reported, only coming out now. So the extent of the big lie, and I talked to American servicemen, or let's say PR agents of the bases back then, they would say, no, there's no threat from radiation, no threat from radiation. So there's a lot of duplicity back then, too, from the Pentagon. They should have just been upfront with the facts. I suppose they were just trying to do some diplomatic face-saving, give the Japanese government time to talk, but the Japanese government has done nothing since, so they've had to finally spill the beans. Yeah?
Well, that what we know should have been done with the USS Ronald Reagan was what? The crew should have been evacuated, right?
They went into kind of like a zone that they had no idea.
Two plumes.
It was very low, and then it was massive, right? And the helicopters really got hammered.
Twice. And then the ship pulled that stuff inside, literally the whole ship. We don't know how quickly they shut down the intake of the air.
It's 100 nautical miles out to sea, too. We're talking about quite, it's a distance, They're not they're not exactly next to
the apparently
plane. They can't even see the plant from where they are. Massive exposure.
Right. They sailed through a deadly plume twice. And this ship literally may still be contaminated, highly contaminated right now. No one's talking about it.
Yeah, we haven't heard too much about it being on the active service list. So, it was hauling cars around on top of the deck, not below deck. So
That was amazing. They were using it for a used car.
Yeah,
I just couldn't believe it.
Only on deck, It's got plenty of room in the hangar so the cars don't get wet or pelted with salt and all that. But they kept them on deck, minimum crew, none of the military, no soldiers or no people who man military batteries there, the various gun missile things. It's just basically a mothballed ship that's just floating back and forth carrying cars of sailors to Alaska and other points, to Central America and all that. So, pretty sad story. This is like 2 years later. It's pathetic. The stuff that we were fighting against, people accusing yourself and myself of being alarmist, right? Remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people saying that we didn't know what we're talking about, this and that. Now, the facts are out there, and we, there's no contrition. I like to see some of those critics step forward and say they were dead wrong. They were completely wrong.
We
were right, and we deserve an apology for the flack we had to take besides all the risks and all that. And the time, you spent covering this story is a huge expense, psychological toll.
Come on.
And that we've assumed,
Yochi, how many of those phonies, those armchair critics, would even dream of doing what you've done? You've been back there, I don't know how many times, half a dozen times now, bicycling around, trying to help these people who are dying in many ways. They're cowards, and they have all been put to shame.
Well, cowards, they should be man enough to say they were wrong. I don't expect an apology, but they should now admit the problem is much more serious than even the critics suspected them. There was no alarmism. There was just there was, let's say, well thought out, precaution and well thought out doubt that had to be expressed then to put the pressure on the government so that the thing wasn't completely buried. As a result of all this, the Pentagon institutions like that can finally come out now because there are enough critics out there pointing to the facts. There's enough facts out there. So, an institution that's so wedded to, the Japanese government through the U.S. Japan military alliance could come out and begin to reveal some of the truth of what happened.
Correct. So,
So anyway, it does pay to Well, you stick to your guns. I guess that's a lousy analogy, but to just hang tough, I suppose.
Well, you have, and we have, and we're going to continue to do that. This story is not going to go away. What about
the... Well, I commend you for that. I want to say I commend you for that, because there's not a commercial radio station in the country that has devoted any news, really, to Fukushima since, you know, after the first 3 months.
No, they're just opportunists, and they run away. We are yeah, on, of course, worldwide, and people all over the world listen to you whenever you're on. They know our coverage. It is what it is.
And there are by no means no advertisers, or there's not a lot of change or money rolling in, so definitely there's no financial reward. There's a loss. So I do encourage all the listeners and readers to understand that, you know, one takes a hit. You've taken a huge hit on this story, on this, you know, extensive story. So have I. We've all have, you know. It's been hard on our pocketbooks as well as on our psyches.
Yes.
But we continue. I'm just saying that because we're marching into the new year, and in a couple of months it's going to be the third year of coverage? What year
coming
are we
up
in
on,
anymore?
Coming up on starting
we'll be
the
entering
third
into
year.
The third year. Yeah, we'll That's be entering right. the third year, right?
Yeah.
Which is nearly unbelievable.
Yeah. What's the island dispute with China. Is this going to go anywhere?
Prime Minister Abe, he just opened the new Diet session with a speech. He laid low on the issue. He realized he's trying to push the economy, which is dying, as all the Japanese, so many Japanese companies and individuals flee Japan, that he's taking a lower key approach on that, trying to make amends. Well, not amends, but he's just keeping quiet about the island dispute because he needs the Chinese market. Sharp Electronics, the major TV producer, they produce some, you know, really snappy stuff. One of the first HD video producers, they've had to sell their plants in China because the Chinese won't buy Japanese electronics anymore. You know, they've been so offended by the historical memories that these fools in Japan have raised that basically the Japanese production in China is tanking. And then with it, this is a great hope for the Japanese economy. So, it was just really serious of the Japanese government made such a fuss with its main customer and the one that needed the most. So the situation is dire, so the economy is really tanking. Well, the other thing I should mention, I've been traveling across these hills with a Japanese coffee maker. You know, he runs a small part-time coffee shop. And he told me that in the Kansai area around Kyoto where he lives, there's been, since Fukushima and in recent months, massive increase in chemtrails. He asked me all about chemtrails.
Mm-hmm.
So this obviously, the upper atmosphere effects of radiation that we've been talking about all the time is really, is not only just, you know, wiped out the ozone over the Arctic, it's caused all these weather disturbances all over the northern hemisphere. But apparently, I guess it's threatening enough for the communication stations, the government facilities, anything to do with electric power plants all across Japan, that this massive increase of chemtrails, as planes are being flown over these facilities to protect them from cosmic rays, UV, sunspots, everything associated with what radiation allows into the atmosphere after it wipes out the ozone layer. So, serious problem in the skies ahead. Serious problem. And I must say, if you look at the WikiLeaks citation on the Arctic ozone hole, they finally now say that on March 15, 2011, it was discovered that the ozone hole had doubled in just a few days over the Arctic. So there is some, finally, some admission that, 4 days after the 311 event, suddenly the Arctic ozone hole opened up. It's not a coincidence, it's not some wild coincidence.
No.
Is there a causal factor? The causal factor is the radioactive releases from Fukushima. So at least there's some progress, some admission this far down the trail, this far after that, drastic on a global scale, affecting everybody on this planet, the health, everyone's health of life on this planet, affecting that has happened. It happened, and on a scale beyond anything that anyone could have, prefigured or planned for or expected, way beyond any expectation, especially of the nuclear industry, which sold us the idea of nuclear power space. But this is massive.
Yeah, I know. All right. Okay, now just have a couple minutes left. This coming year, What do you think TEPCO will be able to accomplish? They're looking into reactor...
Well, if they're going to meet their schedule to pull out the rod from the spent fuel pool of Reactor 4 at Fukushima 1, then they've got to start expeditiously this year. And that means that the rainy season, you have to understand, the weather, you know, it is very snowy, cold, it's very tough right now. But there's a window of opportunity in the month of April, late March and April, when there is some dry, sunny weather before the summer rainy season begins. We would have to expect them to pull some rods then. If they fail to do that, they're not going to be able to keep schedule.
Well,
and I'm not saying they're going to do it, because I don't even, you know, technically the feasibility and all that.
Well, we don't even hear about them. They're still burning radioactive debris around the clock, practically, and dozens of cities.
Oh, they're now, yeah, the seed dumping, you've heard, yeah, all the so-called water tanks, which I really doubt, you know, how worthy this story is in the beginning, but they're saying now they've run out of space in these water tanks behind Fukushima.
They're full, that's right.
More water into the ocean.
They've been dumping water all the time.
Dilute and become, you know, it'll be a lower radiation level. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The veracity of the story, in other words, what we can expect is a massive release compared to the normal release. That's what they're
going to
do.
Well, their solution to that is they're going to kill all the fish in the Fukushima Nuclear Daiichi Harbor. That's their plan.
Yeah, that's not very much. I mean,
of course, it's nothing. You know, it's a little tiny area.
Yeah, there's a huge, vast area. Fishermen reports that I've looked at, you know, it goes all, yeah, I mean, it's just massive throughout the Fukushima coast. So, you know, they would have to kill half the Pacific by now. So. And the radiation is doing it anyway. Why bother to kill the fish? The radiation is
taking care of that. Of course. It's absurd. Where are you right now? And you don't have to name the city, but it sounds like you're outside on a nice day with people around you. Is that where you are?
Yeah, it's quite sunny here. There's a lot of people out and about. I'm in the market looking at some supplies for this whole coffee thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm inside an open market up in the north. So.
Very good. You enjoy
it.
All right.
It's beautiful here. The weather's great. One of the few places on the world that's still a little bit safe. Not entirely, but a little bit.
Good, Yoichi. Enjoy your coffee.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a cup on me. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Good night. Yoichi Shimatsu, and brave man. Very brave man. Okay, gang. We'll see you tomorrow night on Tuesday already, the 29th of January. Lots to talk about tomorrow night. Looking forward to it. Hope to see you then.